the older I get, the more I realize how much children go through and how much it matters, the ways they're given to process what they're handling at any given time.
Poet, teacher, and children's book author Amy Ludwig Vanderwater joins us to talk about her book, The Sound of Kindness. This is a delightful conversation about ways to help children process tough times and how to keep our own lights alive. This is Sticky Hope. Becca, you got back from winter break and were told that you had to decorate your door.
Yeah, I had some feelings about that. And so my strategy in my classroom is like to turn to the kids and be like, all right, guys, we got to figure this out. And like, God love my little Willow, who walked right over to our classroom library and picked up Amy's book, The Sound of Kindness. And she was like, we're going to do this. And I was like, what? And she was like, remember when we were thinking of 100 kind things for the 100th day of school? We're going to put it on our door. And I was like, okay. And as she started talking, all of the other kids were like, yeah, yeah, we can go. We can do this. We're like, the little boy, he goes on a kindness walk. Like, we can go on kindness walks. And that was it. It was decided. And like, I'm really glad that Willow knew how we were going to decorate our door coming back from vacation. And off we went. And it was this really beautiful experience. And I watched them as we were, like, I reread them the story, and then we went on a kindness walk, and then they started to document the kindnesses that they heard. And as we decorated the door, I snapped a picture of it, and I sent it off to the author, who is a friend of ours and happens to be here with us today. So Amy Ludwig Vanderwater, we are so glad that you are here with us and to talk to you about your book, The Sound of Kindness, and just the work that you do. So that day when I sent you that picture, what were you thinking?
So I was home alone, as one often is when one is a writer, and you write a book and then it goes out there and sometimes you hear some things and sometimes you don't hear a lot. And then every once in a while, a long time later, you get an email. And so I opened up your email, Becca, and saw the picture of the door with all the sentence strips in the kindergartner's handwriting and the cover of the book. And I had the feeling one has that whole book was worth it just for these children going on a kindness walk in that school. So it meant a ton to me that you shared it with me. And then when you told me that your student had thought of the idea, you know, it also really made me think a lot about how lucky they are to be in your room, honestly.
Thank you.
Amy, I was thinking about a long, long time ago, many moons, maybe even a decade ago, my daughter was in third grade and I had written a blog post about just she was having a hard time. And you then in response wrote a poem for the poem farm for Hannah, and it had to do with horses, which she loves. And I was just really struck about how you look for ways to show kindness all the time. And so I feel like this book is just really the heart of who you are. But sometimes I feel embarrassed when I extend an act of kindness. Like, I just feel like, oh, it's over the top, or am I putting my nose in? But like, the sound of kindness just normalizes that act. And I would love to hear more of your thoughts about that, because you don't seem afraid or embarrassed to show kindness ever. you just are putting so much good into the world.
Oh, I'm glad you don't see me 24 hours a day, but thank you, Ruth. I have to say, for a long time, and still in my top, because now there are many, but Naomi Shihab Nye's poem, Kindness, has been a really touchstone poem for me in terms of just living. And that's it, when, you know, that really is all there is, right? At the end of the day, what else is there? And so this book, I honestly wish I could remember where it came from. You know, writing is mysterious. It just appears sometimes, and you don't know why that those words come. But the book being a journey of a child and an adult taking a walk and just really listening, and the whole book, many of your readers will remember Chris Rashka's Yo Yes, which is a whole book in speech bubbles, an old favorite. And so this book is like that. And all it is the adult and the child walking through a city. And what is highlighted are the kind words that people say to each other. And the illustrator, Teresa Martinez, what she did in the book, which I thought was really fascinating, was the part of the illustration that is the kind place, like the central moment of the kindness, is in high detail color. And then the rest of each page that isn't that central moment of kindness kind of fades out. And it's like a spotlight on every page. And I just feel very grateful to her and to Imagination. And that the book is published by Imagination Press, which is the American Psychological Association. So you, with your podcast being Sticky Hope, your listeners might want to know about that publisher, because they have books about all kinds of things that people go through, and they're all vetted. Like, this book had to go through a team of either psychologists or psychiatrists to make sure that it would be healthy. And so you can rely on their books, which I didn't know that. Like, I didn't know that as a source. And so now I go there for, you know, sure, I'd like to write for them, but also to think about books that children need.
Yeah. I was so glad I wanted you to talk about that, because when The Sound of Kindness came out, it was the first time that I knew about Imagination Press. And me too, like, it is such a great resource for teachers, and it just opens the door to talk about.
It is. And it's, it sounds like Imagination, but there's no I at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's just Imagination, just so you know. But it also, I have another book with them that I wrote after my parents got divorced, and it's not a poem book and it doesn't rhyme. And it's the story of a girl handling that divorce and then learning to write in a notebook, and it doesn't solve the fact she misses her mom when she's at her dad's and she misses her dad when she's at her mom's, but it's something one can do, right? You can write when you're sad, and it doesn't make the sadness go away, but it lets you think about it and heal a little bit. And so, yeah, it is. The older I get, the more I realize how much children go through and how much it matters, the ways they're given to process what they're handling at any given time.
Yeah. The power of a story is power that has helped us power through. And, you know, Ruth and I have lived with kids who have lived a lot of things, and, my kids are still, well, they're not allowed here on podcast recording days, but they're still here. And they love stories, and The Sound of Kindness is loved in my home, but also, in my classroom. And what I've noticed, and part of what I loved about this project that wasn't planned, is that I watched it kind of create this kindness momentum. We came back from break, and, you know, like, behaviors can be tricky when you come back from break. You do a lot of reminding of around, like, okay, remember, like, you can't just tell me every thought that pops into your brain. Like, we have to raise our hands. And then they're, like, really focused on tattling on each other. Like, she didn't raise her hand, or he just cut me, you know, like, all of that happens. And this immediately, reading this and paying attention to kindnesses immediately gave us focus on kindness, and it changed what we were paying attention to. And so Ruth and I talk a lot about paying attention to what you pay attention to. And while I wasn't, like, planning to shift what they were paying attention to, it's exactly what happened. And it kind of created this, like, momentum of encouraging them to find kindness. And then, because they're looking for kindness, they're also acting in kindnesses. And it just propelled us in this really beautiful and like, way easier and healthier way than it typically would have after break. Like, it was way easier to get them back into routines because they were motivated by these kindness acts.
That, when you said paying attention to what you pay attention to, Becca, I think I first really understood that when I married Mark, who's a bird watcher, and I never knew any birds, right? And then he would say, oh, that's a blue jay. Oh, that's a kingfisher. You know, and then I realized, oh, wow, some people pay attention to birds. Like, that's weird. But then, of course, you start to pay attention to what the people you admire pay attention to, right? When I went and worked at the writing project and everybody was carrying a writer's notebook and saying, oh, if you write things down, then you pay attention to them more and then you notice more because you're paying attention more. And that's so true. And so as a teacher, as a parent, that idea of paying attention to kindness, like you as the leader, even if you're in a bad mood, like you pay attention to kindness, you in that way, you make it sticky. Like you kind of are the one that's putting the super glue on the back of the things you want everybody to hold on to, right? And when you said that about stories, I did just want to mention a book that I'm reading for the third time right now. It's an adult book, but I mean, it's not an adult book, but it's a book for grownups, by Bruce Feiler, F-E-I-L-E-R. And it's called Life is in the Transitions, Mastering Change at Any Age. And the thing about that book is he got a, unusual pediatric cancer in his 40s, and his father was, very suicidal at that time. And so he then had to figure out, how do I get my life back on track? And he went and just interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people about the transitions that they've gone through in their lives. And he pulls from all the stories. He said, whenever I had a problem, I always turned to narrative. And so I did that again. And the book goes through all these different, he calls them lifequakes that people go through, and ways that all these hundreds of people across the whole United States dealt with them and how they came through the other side. And I think it matches. I read it the first time during COVID after my dad died, and then again during COVID, and now. And I just feel like it's narrative is important, and it's everything, and it's how we make sense of what we go through, right? Because we all go through these bad things. Everybody does, but it's what the story you make from it is what it is at the end of the day. And so making stories and telling stories, I think, is so important that you're doing here and teaching your children class.
Story matters. Like it just matters. And Amy, you have such this kind of rich and just a diverse kind of career path, not linear, right? Like you are very playful, but you, I've seen you in working with kids. I've seen you working with teachers. You are an author. And I just would like you to share, if people want to get in touch with you, like, can they, or are you like in this fortress and you can't get into you into
no,
your
I'm
world
not in any kind of fortress?
How would people find you?
Oh, thank you. I have a website that's just my name, Amy Ludwig Vanderwater, but really and I have two blogs, one which I haven't posted on in a long time, but I've let remain because it has a lot of information about writer's notebooks. That is called Sharing Our Notebooks. And really the place where I live the most online is The Poem Farm, which is a blog of, oh golly, I don't know, 1,000-something poems probably at this point, and mini lessons that in next week, it will be 15 years old. And I started it just to do a month of poems in 2010. And then that movie was out, Julie and Julia, where the woman cooked a Julia Child French dish every day for a year. And so at the end of that month, I thought, I'm going to do a poem every day for a year. So I did that. And then I went back to just Fridays and every day in April. So it's written to children. The voice of the blog is to students. And I do an audio recording every week and read a poem and give a little tip and write a poem. And in April this year, I'm going to be in April, I do a project, and I will be Little Red Riding Hood writing a poem in the voice of Little Red Riding Hood every day and encouraging children to write a daily poem from the point of view of somebody else.
Oh.
So there are contact me buttons on those. And my social media, all you can find me on nowadays is Blue Sky. And there I am, Amy LV Poem Farm.
And do you go to schools? Do you do virtual?
I do go to schools. Yes, I visit schools. I do large assemblies for grade levels about poetry and writing and sort of finding interest in the world. And then I also do writing workshops. So I'll do writing workshops on a variety of topics, but usually they are poetry workshops.
Amy, I am so glad that you're here with us. Do you have any like just last words that you want to share about hope or kindness or teaching?
I think it's I love the name of this podcast, I have to say. I just think Sticky Hope, when I learned that this was the name of your new podcast together, first of all, it fits the two of you perfectly. And second of all, it's so of the moment. We all, for, you know, with everything that always is happening in the world, all of us at every age need to have hope to hang on to. And I think, I guess all I'd really offer is, for different people, this is different. It might be a walk in nature. It might be listening for kind words. For me, it is reading poetry. And it might be making something with your hands. It might be baking cookies for your neighbor or whatever that is. But I think this idea of Sticky Hope with our students and our own children and trying to be a light, I think, I guess I would just offer that I would recommend people do what they can to keep their own light alive, because it is hard to be that for somebody else when you're not feeling so sticky yourself.
I feel so like warm inside after talking to Amy. She just is really reminds me that the sound of kindness is so sweet.
Yeah, it was beautiful to have her on here with us and like such a treat. And it feels perfect that she was our first guest on here, really talking about, you know, this project that my kids did and the importance of focusing on kindness and story. And this project turned into a beautiful story itself, because as I snapped a picture of the start of the door decoration and sent it to her, her immediate response was, I need to write back to them. I need to write to your kids. And she wrote them this beautiful letter that just like lit up their faces when I read it to them. And she called them kindness detectives, which just was like the perfect way to capture a kindergarten audience. And then like, and they fully took on the identity of kindness detectives. And I, here we are like a month later, and I'm still like hearing them talking about being kindness detectives. I can say like, oh, make sure you're being a kindness detective. And it switches them from going to like tattle on someone or notice the wrong thing to really focusing on like, oh, right. Like I'm going to go find a kindness. And it's just this really beautiful, gift that she gave us in not only like this letter and calling them kindness detectives, but to acknowledge the work that they're doing and show them that at 5 and 6 years old, their work, it is meaningful. It has an impact outside of the work that we were doing in our classroom. Like here she is states away writing back and showing the importance. And that's just really who Amy is, like this beautiful light. And she sent it all the way to Maine in her letter.
It's true. I think it's easy to hear like a podcast guest on, you know, to hear her and think, oh, there's no way that I could reach out to her. And I just want everybody to know it is well worth your time to go to her website, amyludwigvanderwater.com, to poke around, to reach out to her. We are in April right now. It's Poetry Month. She is releasing these incredible daily poems as she has her puppet, right? Like her wolf puppet. She has her little Red Riding Hood and like it's minutes, right? So anybody can access this. You are going to find so much joy and light in just a few minutes that you can definitely share with your students. We also have included a recording of The Sound of Kindness in the Sticky Hope Kit. So if you haven't downloaded the Sticky Hope Kit yet, it's a care package for you, and it's good for your soul. And it's also like things that you can do in your classroom. It's things that you're wanting to do in your classroom. So there's a video of The Sound of Kindness in that Sticky Hope Kit, and you will be able to reach all those places, all the resources that Amy was sharing. Those are all in the links in the show notes. Some days are rough. Maybe you've had a day, complete with a capital D, in your classroom. We understand. We've been there too, and we want to help. The best thing on a rocky day is a good old-fashioned care package. At first, that seemed impossible. But then we remembered Walt Disney said, "It's fun to do the impossible." So we rolled up our sleeves and put together a soul-soothing care package for teachers. We call it the Sticky Hope Kit and would love to send it to you. Just go to stickyhope.com/stickyhopekit. There's no spaces, just all together. stickyhope.com/stickyhopekit.